enjoy the wonderful Christ.
Amen.
Revealed in the book of Revelation.
Amen.
As the center of God's administration.
Amen.
So now let's turn to our special topic number two. We're going to share with you tonight another very important feature concerning the Recovered Version Bible. The title is The Accuracy of the Translation of the Recovered Version Bible. That's okay. Yesterday, last night, we mentioned very briefly concerning the general principles of Bible translation. And based on that, we see that the Recovered Version Bible is one of the best study Bibles that are available in the English world. And tonight, we want to focus on the accuracy of the Scripture translation in the Recovered Version Bible. So we're going to speak on four subjects. First is a brief introduction, and then we're going to talk about when you see about accuracy, what's the standard, right? When you see my speaking or someone speaking is accurate, you have to have a standard. So what's the standard of the accuracy? And then thirdly, we're going to present a few case studies, compare King James Version and then NIV Version and the Recovered Version. And I will share with you why we compare these three versions. And then I'll present the conclusion at the end. Okay, first, how do we know that the Recovered Version Bible provides an accurate translation? I think every one of us must be interested to know. And then, what do we gain by reading such an accurate translation, right? We have to say that last night, we see that since 1950, there are already at least 63 new English translations out there. So that means for all of us English speakers, we have at least hundreds of English translations. And we have to say that every Bible has its good features. We treasure every Bible because every translation has their own advantages. But the Recovered Version Bible is very unique because its translation is very accurate. And now we'll talk about the standard, why we say that the translation is very accurate. And last night we mentioned very briefly that translation of the Bible is based on the so-called original text. And the autograph, means that the original epistle or the book written by the author, for example, Apostle John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, that epistle was no longer available. Right? So that autograph was no longer available. All that we have right now are the result of copies after copies and after copies, which is called manuscripts. So the Bible scholars, they basically collected many manuscripts and then apply the discipline called textual criticism to choose or to judge which manuscript is the most accurate resemblance of the original autograph. And then, as a result, many texts which resemble the original autograph were produced. So in 1707, the text called Textus Receptus, which includes Hebrew and also Greek, Hebrew for Old Testament and Greek for the New Testament, was produced. And King James Version was translated based on this text. And then in 1881, we have the Westcott Court, which is a very authoritative version at that time, which includes more manuscripts compared to Textus Receptus, because in the 18th century, when the Textus Receptus was there, there are still many manuscripts were not even discovered yet. So now by the 1881, the scholars have access to more manuscripts. So they were able to come up with more authoritative text, Hebrew text and Greek text. And today, in the 21st century, we have the so-called eclectic text, which is the most authoritative one according to the modern biblical scholars. And Actually, there are two types. The first is a new, the Greek New Testament, which is produced by the United Bible Societies, or UBS. And the other one is the Nestle-Aland Novum Testamentum Greece. Actually, the latest edition from both branches, from both UBS and Nestle-Aland, the Greek text is exactly the same. It's just the textual variants are different. The Greek text is exactly the same. So based on that knowledge, I'll present to you here. This is a diagram from top to bottom is chronological. So you can see that all the Bible translations in English language so far are based on some manuscript, right? On the top is called the early Greek manuscript. And from there, that's the source of all the modern text, okay? And then, for example, the Vulgate, which is Latin version, which was produced in the late 4th century, was based directly on the early Greek manuscripts. And then, in the 1707 version of Textus Receptus was based on that, and King James Version, and also King James II. I think many English Christians don't even know there is a King James Version II. And there's also a new King James Version. But all the three editions of King James Version are all directly based on the same original text. And so if you compare that with, okay, here, this is a Textus Receptus, right? And then the Westcott Hort, which was produced in 19th century, was actually better or more authoritative than this version. So the English Revised Version was based on this one. And then we have today American Standard Version, 1901, was based on that and that, right? So you see this is the, you can call it a genealogy. And then here is the UBS and the Eclectic Version. And okay, do you see where we are? Here, right? So we are based on the most authoritative version, which is the Eclectic Version. And so is the New International Version, which was completed in 1978. So from this diagram, I think we can all be clear that Bible translation has never an end. There's never an end because archaeology is going to continually bring us more findings. And then maybe a more authoritative version will be found in the next few years. But there's one thing I want to make very clear, that the Holy Spirit is not only there when the original authors are writing the Old Testament and New Testament books. The Holy Spirit is also responsible for transmitting the text and also preserving all this text. Can you believe, after thousands of years, today, actually, if you compare Textus Receptus and Eclectic Version, the variants are very, very small. We're talking about 0.01% of differences, which does not make any difference in the way of interpreting the scripture. If you compare any other literature, for example, Shakespeare, so far we have a few different editions of his books, and the difference could be 5 or 10%. And look, they're only a few hundred years. So the Holy Spirit is definitely there preserving God's word for us. Amen. And still, so I want to make it very clear, and I hope that this diagram will be very helpful to us. Okay, now, we also need to understand that when we translate the Bible, the translators themselves need to have the divine revelation in order to have an accurate translation. We all know that in the 2,000 years of church history, many truths in the scripture were either lost, damaged, or misinterpreted, or maybe ignored. And since the Reformation, the justification by faith was recovered, right? It was not invented, has been there in the Bible for thousands of years, but it was lost by the Roman Catholic Church. That's why God raised up Martin Luther to recover that truth. Amen. And also afterwards, we see that the truths today have been pretty much covered by the ministry of the age. Amen. So today, when we translate the Bible, we have the full picture of the divine revelation. That will definitely help us to translate an accurate version of the scripture. And then, so we see that last night from the recovered version introduction, we see that translating the Bible depends not only on adequate comprehension of the original language, but also on a proper understanding of the divine revelation. You may be, or someone may be, an expert in Greek or an expert in Hebrew. But if you might very well not have fully grasped the divine revelation. For example, I studied a few years in Fuller Seminary. My professors, they're expert in Greek, but they don't even know the difference between Zoe and Pasuki and Bios. They know the language perfectly, maybe much better than I do, but they don't have that divine revelation to see the difference between Zoe, God's eternal life, and our Pasuki life, which is our psychological life, right? So you, not only you need to have possess the expert knowledge of the original language, we also need to be equipped with the divine revelation.
Amen.
In order to translate the Bible and also interpret, in order to understand the Bible.
Amen.
Okay, now, we also, of course, you need to understand the original text. So those are the tools that Brother Nee and Brother Lee used before they translate the Bible. Okay, now, for the sake of time, let's compare King James Version and NIV and Recovered Version. Why? Because last night, I think one brother mentioned that in one church, I don't know which one church, they said that if anyone is not saved with King James Version, then he is not saved. Wow. That's a superstition. So that's why I want to compare King James Version with Recovered Version Bible. And still, many Christians in this country today still think that King James Version is the best translation. Of course, we see that there are many good things about King James Version.
Right.
Last night, we already covered many aspects. But in terms of accuracy, it's already laid behind.
Right.
Why NIV Version? NIV Version right now is the most popular Bible used in the evangelical churches. And many people say that NIV Version might replace King James Version to be the most authoritative one in English language. But I don't agree with that.
No.
I will show you why. Okay. Okay, the King James Version, we all see that the text is based on this OT and this New Testament, and it's a word-for-word translation, and it's archaic English with thou or ye, right? And NIV Version and Recovered Version, actually, they're based on the same text. It's just that they're using an early edition of Nestle Island, okay? And the translation principle between NIV and Recovered Version is about the same. They all, it's kind of in between the literal translation and dynamic equivalence, which means elegancy towards the target language. The Recovered Version, of course, is more inclined to have a literal translation, meaning to render the original meaning of that word. Okay, now, Genesis 1:2. So this is the Hebrew text, and I print out a few things here. Okay, so King James Version said, and the earth was without. NIV is about the same. And Recovered Version said, but, and the earth became waste. Okay, so now, this is a one conjunction in Hebrew. It's called V, right? Even many translations don't even translate that. So we're happy that King James Version and NIV both translate them. However, we believe that this translation is not, their translation of this word is not quite accurate. Let me tell you why. Here, there's also a verb, and King James Version and NIV both translate to was, but we translate to became. Okay, here. This same verb, haya, appeared also in Genesis 19:26. And both King James Version and NIV translate to became. But why did they don't translate became here? You see that? It's not consistent. So we see that God, now we know that why. God created the earth in good order. In Job 38, it says that after God created, all the angels began to sing. Began to sing. Can you sing over anything formless and empty? No. Something happened. After God's initial creation, something happened. That's the pre-Adamic universe, which follows the fall of Satan. And then God judged it. So starting from verse 2 is God's recreation.
Amen.
Oh, that's the revelation that we receive today.
Amen.
And then even the brother Pember, which is a brother who belonged to the brethren, he said that he said an instance of this may be found in the history of Lot's wife. She became a pillar of salt, right? So he said that such a meaning is by far the best for our context. We may therefore adopt it and render, and the earth became. So that means today, the Recovered Version Bible is standing on the shoulders of all the Christians who are before us.
Right.
And they understood in an accurate way, and now we inherited.
Right.
We inherited them. We stood on their shoulders.
Amen.
And there we go forward, right?
Amen.
Okay, now this is another case, which is Matthew 10:32. This is a Greek text, and pay attention to this small word in Greek, but actually it's very big to our Christian experience. Okay, both King James Version and NIV, even NIV was translated 200 years, even 300 years later than King James Version. However, both versions don't translate this little word. Only Recovered Version faithfully captures that. It said that everyone, therefore, who will confess in me, this is me. And then I will also, so the Lord will also confess in him. I mean, the Lord is in us.
Amen.
Before his Father who is in the heavens.
Amen.
So that means these two versions ignored. They think that this little word is too little. It's not worth translating.
Right.
But you know what? It's very worthwhile.
Amen.
It's very important.
Right.
Because without translating that in English language, then the English readers of the Bible do not even know that today Christ wants to be organically united with you.
Amen.
He wants to be in you.
Right.
And we also be in him.
Right.
Right? Oh, that's a very deep truth that's revealed by the faithful, accurate translation
Amen.
From the Recovered Version Bible.
Right.
Right. Okay, this is the last one. And here, this is the one word, and I point out this X is one. It's two words. It's two little characters, but actually it's not little. Okay, here King James Version, AIV Version, both translate them to resurrection. Actually, in Greek, this anastasing itself means resurrection.
Yeah, that's right.
What about X? Well, they think that you know what it does not mean much, so they don't translate the X. But Recovered Version translate that to out resurrection. Why? We all know that Paul said that all believers eventually will participate in the final resurrection, right? So if it's the general resurrection that Paul was talking about, why does Paul need to attain to such a general resurrection that he knows for sure he will have it? Right? Does not make sense. So here, it has to be a very special resurrection, which is the outer resurrection, which is the outstanding resurrection, which is a reward only to the overcoming Christians.
Amen.
Don't you appreciate the Recovered Version Bible?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Okay, so here's a simple conclusion. Sorry, my time is already out. Based on that, we can see that the Recovered Version Bible, the text, the scripture itself, is a very accurate translation, which are able to bring us into the deeper truths revealed in the scripture.
Amen.
So may we all appreciate and enter into the depths of the Recovered Version Bible.
Amen.
And may we all become those who can propagate
the
truth in this scripture, right?
Right?
And all the Christians in this country deserve to know this.
Yes.
So we should go out right, to propagate the Recovered Version Bible and also propagate the truths that are recovered in the Recovered Version Bible.
Amen.